You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hello, everyone. This is MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. I am joined by Jordan Bastian. We are here to talk Tribe, and we are here to preview the winter meetings, which begin December 7th in Nashville. And JB, everybody's expecting the Indians to be the talk of Nashville, right?
Oh, obviously. They're just lying in the weeds right now. I'm sure they've got something up their sleeve. Chris Antonetti has shown in the past that he could have something up his sleeve. Especially on the trade front. So we'll see.
Was it in Nashville a few years back where he said there was a trade on the table that we would not believe or we would never guess what it is? And it never happened, obviously. It did not transpire. But I feel like that was in Nashville.
Yeah, I believe so. We've been in Nashville a few times. All these winter meetings kind of run together. But he still has never admitted what
yeah.
that trade was.
I'm waiting for his
try again this year to get that information out of him.
I'm waiting for his autobiography to come out. I think it'll be in there. that'll be one of the selling points. But obviously, if something big is going to happen at the winter meetings from the Indians' perspective, it would be more likely to be on the trade front than the free agent front. We all know that. And we've kind of batted this around in previous podcasts, but just give me your opinion. Where are you at on this? I mean, do you think there's realistic deals that would make sense to deal a Carrasco or a Salazar that, you know, especially in this market, deep as it is from a free agent pitching standpoint, do you think that deal is out there?
Yeah, I think it could be out there. I just think the danger and what I would hate to see happen is, you know, them to pull the trigger on the move and it upgrades the offense, but not dramatically. And now all of a sudden you've weakened the rotation that once you get behind those front four, the depth chart gets pretty weak in terms of experience and in terms of sort of certainties. Not that anything is a certainty. But I would think the only way I would be comfortable making that move from the Indians' perspective would be if you knew you had something in place to supplement the rotation, and that obviously can't be in the free agent market given the way the prices are going. So I think it's going to be really difficult for the Indians to pull the trigger. I think they really have to have that kind of deal where you just can't walk away from it unless they have multiple deals on the table and one of them is trying to also get starting pitching to sort of counter, you know, taking away from that strong rotation.
Yeah, and I almost feel like if something were to transpire on that front, it's not something that'd be likely at the winter meetings, in my opinion, just because I think we need a lot of things to settle in what is, again, one of the deeper starting pitching markets we've seen in some time. I think we need a lot more clarity there before somebody's going to overwhelm the Indians with an offer for one of these guys.
Yeah, exactly, and not just the starting pitching market, but also the outfield market. The Indians obviously have need there, and they're looking at some of those second-tier guys, and you look at a guy like Chris Young, who just got a multi-year deal with the Red Sox, reported to be something in the $13 million range.
13,
I saw. Yeah, so, I mean, that also affects the second-tier outfielders who the Indians, you know, are kind of looking at as well. You know, are they willing to give a free agent, one of those free agents, multiple years for sort of a short-term need? You know, so that also is something that, you know, I think they need the market to settle on that front, and they also need some of the starting pitching market to settle for other teams, you know, before you can have sort of both avenues fixed. So we're kind of in this holding pattern right now for the Indians, and I think the positive is that there still is a lot of talent on this roster. It's not like we're talking about a rebuilding team.
Right.
I think it's just sort of solidifying some areas, and in order to do that, you just need a lot of other chips to fall into place first.
Yeah, and I've said this before. I wonder, too, if they look at the New York Mets getting the World Series as a team who, just said, you know what, we're comfortable with our starting pitching. It's going to keep us competitive night after night. And part of that was, of course, some pinch and pennies going on there. But they were, inordinately patient with their offense. And then, obviously, a trade for a Yoenis Cespedes is kind of a once-in-a-generation type thing, the way he went crazy there for 6 weeks. But there were other factors with that team that also came together from a health standpoint. And you just wonder if they go with this, and not that it's a perfect comparison, but they just go with this this mode of let's see how the first half sort of develops around, again, a pitching staff that can keep us in games. Of course, that did not work out particularly well in 2015 because there are a lot of moving parts, and we'll see. But you're right. I mean, you don't have to blue sky yourself too much to see potential for the lineup to improve. We've seen some indication. I think Baseball Prospectus, their third order winning percentage, had the Indians as a much better team than they actually were, as far as the one loss is concerned. But boy, you'd like to see them do something that makes you feel better about that outfield situation with Michael Brantley on the shelf.
Yeah, you would, and I think, you know, kind of to your point, I've written it on the site in a couple different places this winter. Just how comparable the Indians rotation is, both in age and control, you know, years of control and performance to the Mets rotation. And then on the other side, how the Indians offense was very similar across the board to the Royals in terms of production. So you had two teams in the World Series who had two elements of their roster that were similar to the Indians. So you, if you're the Indians, you can sit there and say that. And you also know that you made tremendous improvement in the second half defensively. And I think that when you talk about the offensive maybe inefficiencies or lack of power, you know, one thing Chris Antonetti and his front office guys are quick to bring up is run prevention and run differential. And, you know, with the improvement of the defense and the strength of the starting pitching, you know, there is that the belief that, you know, with health, they have those two components that could maybe make up for some of what's missing slugging-wise in the offense. But you're right. You'd still love to see some type of move to address the heart of that order, because if they open another season with Carlos Santana as their cleanup hitter, you know, there's going to be some unrest amongst the fans.
Yeah, definitely. And to that point you made about the defensive improvements, give me a percentage chance that Giovanni Urshela is the starting third baseman on opening day. Because we all know defensively he's there.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, I kind of put it 50-50 right now, just because obviously you don't know what alternatives they're looking at. I think if they went to camp with the roster in place right now, I think he's starter. But I think it's just so hard to read what he did offensively, because you look at him in the minors, what he did in 2014, and you saw this tremendous jump in offensive potential. And last year, I mean, there was the knee injury last winter in winter ball, then the back flared in spring, then that got better, then it flared up again, and he was limited. He didn't do anything in spring, and then late in the year the shoulder flared. And so you look at his offensive line, and it left a lot to be desired, but you could also look at it in that perspective of this kid played hurt for almost the entire year and dealt with a full major league season for the first time in his career. So that's an interesting one. I mean, I'd kind of put it 50-50 right now, just because we have a whole offseason left to see what could develop. But you're right. Defensively, he's there. And, you know, he really was a big part of why they were so much better down the stretch in the field.
We've heard the name Shane Victorino tossed about when it comes to the Indians, and maybe that's not terribly surprising, because they did have interest in him to the point of making a four-year offer to him prior to 2013. That turned out to be a terrific season for Victorino. It just happened to happen elsewhere in Boston. The last couple of years not gone nearly as well, but what are your thoughts on Victorino as an outfield option here?
I mean, obviously it's a veteran guy, would bring depth, and I think when you look at when you lose a guy like Mike Aviles, who obviously brought a lot to that clubhouse in terms of leadership and things along those lines and keeping things loose, obviously Victorino has, you know, reputation along those lines too, and they need outfield depth. And, you know, so I could see sort of those being attractive elements for bringing him into the fold. Obviously, it's a very buy-low situation, and I wouldn't expect them to think he would bounce back and be the same type of guy he was a few years ago. But if you're looking at him as a sort of guy off your bench and, you know, helping out and bringing something to the clubhouse. I think it's not the worst idea, but obviously it's not going to move the needle much to the fan base, just given what the needs are on this roster right now.
We did have some news this week. The Indians signed Jabba Chamberlain to a minor league deal with an invitation to camp. That's from the, yeah, sure, whatever category. Why not? Last year was not a good year for Mr. Chamberlain. The year prior, he had a very strong first half. He kind of tapered away in the second half. But this is a guy who has shown in the past to be an effective bullpen arm. He's still 30 years old, which he's one of those guys that surprised you because to see that because he feels like he's been around forever. And, of course, he was around in 2007 for the infamous bug game opposite Fausto Carmona. But what do you think of Chamberlain coming aboard?
Again, it's not that big a deal. I think in, you look at the Indians, even when they recently traded for Kirby Yates from Tampa Bay, you kind of you look at their recent history and look to a guy like Jeff Manship is a great example of a guy who looked like a so-called scrap heap signing and bring him into the fold on a minor league deal, and then he turns in this incredible season because the Indians found something and helped him out, and next thing you know, you got a great reliever in the fold. So who knows? You never know with these minor league deals. A few years ago, Atchison was brought in on a minor league deal, and he ended up being a cog in that bullpen for, a season plus. And, I think bringing in a guy in like Jabba just doesn't hurt anything. Good to have depth, good to have experience. And, maybe he's in the plans for the major league bullpen, maybe he's not. But you got to have bodies, and you got to have bodies in camp on minor league deals to kind of account for what might happen in spring training or what might happen during the season. We saw a lot of change in that bullpen during this season. And you saw guys kind of come up and down, and some young guys get some experience. But, I think if this is a team that, wants to contend, which they do, it's good to have those guys who have those major league innings under their belt.
Yeah, Jabba's velocity still intact. He's got some life on his fastball, so we'll see what he can bring to the table in the spring. But for now, it's still the winter, and the winter meetings are coming. Jordan Bastian will be there. We'll check in with him again from Nashville, from the Opryland. Oh, boy. Until then, thanks for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.